I've been saved 2.5 years, and I've just been understanding and reading the Bible at this man's suggestion, admonition, for about 1.5 years. I came out of a lifestyle of drugs and alcohol. God's merciful. I deserve hell. I should be dead. And I'm a swimming pool man. I live close by here. I think William Tyndale wrote about me once. He said, ere many days I shall make a pool boy understand the scriptures more than thou doest. I'm going to do a little dynamic equivalency. I had a little trouble with my paper here, so I'm going to splice together two texts. It's not Alexandrus or Sinaiticus and Vaticanus, but we'll see. I'll try not to make shipwreck of it here. I'm going to splice together my little talk on dynamic equivalence and my testimony, and we'll see how it goes. Cognitive dissonance, I'm sorry, not dynamic equivalence. Cognitive dissonance. Cognitive, the mental process of knowing, and dissonant, being at variance, disagreeing. The description of condition or conflict or anxiety resulting from inconsistency between one's beliefs and one's actions, such as opposing the slaughter of animals and eating meat. And that sounds like being very confused to me, knowing something's wrong and compromising your principles. Or such as believing in an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent triune God and believing he did not preserve his words. Or such as Michael Sproul saying he uses the King James Bible in his seminary, then trouncing the TR King James Bible and the Dean Burgon Society in his book. That's cognitive dissonance. I want to read a quote from Dr. Mormon, who I'm sorry we didn't get to see. You'll be able to read that when Dan, or see that when Dan gets that on the video on the site. We have a strange anomaly today. Christians claim to believe what the Bible says about its own inspiration, but virtually ignore the equally direct statements concerning preservation. To say that you believe in the full inspiration of Scripture, while at the same time accepting the textual theories inherent in the modern versions, is about as incongruous as taking Genesis 1 literally while holding to the theories of Darwin. That's cognitive dissonance. Okay, and I handed you out a little thing here, and I'm not going to comment too much on it, but these, you can see the difference in the Bibles. And I just thought it was important everyone have one. I'll just read one statement that caught my attention from one of our critics over there, and I haven't qualified this, but I'm going to take this anyway. Dr. Gordon Fee of Wheaton College, and a defender of new versions, said in Christianity Today, the contemporary translations as a group have one thing in common. They tend to agree against the KJV in omitting hundreds of words, phrases, and verses. Prophet Isaiah said, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Fear of God's what's missing today. And I just want to comment on this morning in the, I don't want to use the word types, but that's what I use. I think that's what's missing. I appreciate the talks on that by Pastor Brown and the talk by Mr. Grumblatt. Dissonance increases with the importance and impact of the decision, along with the difficulty of reversing it. Discomfort about making the wrong choice of car is bigger than when choosing a lamp. Okay, well, what about when making the wrong choice on our instruction book from God on all spiritual matters? You can use the tried and true King James Bible, or you can use the NIV with 64,000 less words, The ESV, just a revision of the RSV with its ties to the apostate National Council of Churches, or the deceptively marketed and named New King James Version. The underlying manuscripts of these modern versions disagree in the Gospels alone 3,000 times. In the Gospels alone, 8,000 Greek differences, 2,886 less Greek words affecting 356 doctrines. Using these, that's cognitive dissonance. Words added, omitted, and changed. In Pullman terms, cognitive dissonance is nothing but bad algae and not getting the proper treatment to kill it, hoping it goes away. That is compromise, friends. To know something is wrong, there must be something right, absolutely right and true. We can't have it both, and it is either or. It's either one Bible from a true text in the Spanish Bible, Dr. Gomez, the King James Bible, or what have you, accurate, faithful translations, or it's not. I've been asked, where does it say in the Bible that it's the King James Bible that's been preserved? Well, if you read it with the right heart towards God, prayerfully, not grieving the Holy Spirit, you can't miss it. It's very simple. I make no illusions of scholarship, though I did stay at a Holiday Inn once. I'm only here to give a testimony of encouragement to the layman that we do have all of God's words preserved in English in the King James Bible, and we don't have to rely on anyone to know that but the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ, and that ye not be wearied and faint in your minds. And I know Pastor Brown gave a disclaimer, so I'll give a little one myself. I'll give a probably through the rest of this, give a new meaning to Paul's words, though I be rude in speech. And the rest of my disclaimer from Corinthians and Galatians. And if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Well, I do know a thing or two about a thing or two, which amounts to nothing. But what I ought to know is I do know the truth. That's what I prayed for, the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Truth is not relative. David Hollywood is missing in action. Brother Hollywood, he needs our prayers too. I love what he said. There's no antithesis between the written word and the living word. This is the real world. That Bible is the real world. That's so true. I would hope and pray that folks here and watching this would have their minds piqued and eventually their hearts pricked, that they would eventually have a conviction for God's preserved words, a conviction of the Holy Spirit. You can have all the physical evidence you want, and you've already gotten a lot of compelling evidence here. The bottom line is, do you believe God has promised to preserve all his words? It's a question of faith that is applicable to all the promises God has given. Our promises of salvation and God's promises to preserve his words are dependent upon one another. Neither is worth beings by themselves or to us unless received in faith. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as a flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which gospel is preached unto you. This is a question of faith. That's the bottom line. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. You need faith. And the only way you're going to get that is read your King James Bible prayerfully and get some sound preaching. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we must receive and handle these words in truth and guard them as the words of God and not of men. For this cause also, We thank God without ceasing, because when ye receive the word of God, which ye heard of us, you receive it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Okay, I'm going to try and segue here, and I'd like to give a testimony. Dean Burgon Society has been a blessing and a wealth of information for me. And besides listening, I'm part of Bible for Today Baptist Church, by the way. Besides listening to Dr. Waite's preaching every week, before Dan uploaded all these videos, and I hope you people get that word out, that Dan has uploaded all these videos on demand of previous Dean Burgon Society meetings. He would stream them, and I had tried to catch as many as I can, as I could. And I'm grateful to you all, past and present members. I'd want to thank my grandmother, too, and her humble opinion about different versions. She lived to be 99. She went to church her whole life. She didn't get saved until she was 85. She was religious but lost. And I knew she read the King James Bible. And I asked her, when I was unsaved, I asked her if she read other versions. And she had that born in 1898 scowl on her face and said, no. That was her humble opinion. And I wasn't saved, but I remember that. She didn't live to see me get saved, but we'll be talking about that when we all get to heaven. Amen. What a day of rejoicing. It didn't take long for me to come to the conclusion that God did preserve all his words. I was in a new evangelical church, and through my years of confusion, being unsaved, undone, I listened to many preachers, and for whatever reason, I believe it was a drawing of the Holy Spirit, I sensed there was authority in the King James Bible that was lacking in other versions. I never did a comparison verse by verse, but when I heard preachers on the radio read a King James Bible, I knew something was right. And while attending a new evangelical church, first church I've ever graced the doors more than once, ever, a little over 2 years ago, while attending there, one of the first discrepancies I remember hearing was in 1 Samuel 6. The people, and we've heard about this earlier, the people of Beshemeth decided they could become familiar with the Lord. The folks handled the ark carelessly. While following along in my King James Bible and listening to the storytelling from the NIV that they were storytelling out of in the church, I noticed a difference. I had already noticed a lot of difference, but this was a little bigger difference. And in the NIV in 1 Samuel 6:19, it said, "But God struck down some of the men of Beth Shemeth, putting 70 of them to death because they had looked into the ark of the Lord." In the King James Bible that I was reading, it said, "And he smote the men of Beth Shemeth because they had looked into the ark of the Lord. Even he smote the people of the people, 50,000 and 70 men." 50,000 and 70 against 70 in the NIV, that was cognitive dissonance to me. I knew God was not the author of confusion, with whom is no variableness and cannot lie. Two things that are different are not the same. A man with one not watch knows what time it is. A man with two is never sure. We got more than two versions out there, don't we? Modern versions. And I'm sure a lot of you, maybe not on the internet, but most of these folks here know of 2 Samuel 21:19. And I was surprised to learn in the NIV that David didn't kill Goliath. I think I learned that on cartoons on TV. I got my Bible education in that growing up. But in the NIV, it says Elhanan, the son of Jeroregim, the Bethlehemite, killed Goliath the Gittite. In my King James Bible, where the translators got it right, they put a few words in italics there, that Elhanan slew the brother of Goliath. Very important words. week in and week out, there were more discrepancies and more. I was already a very disillusioned young Christian. I had barely been saved 3 months before I even thought much of the Bible versions. I knew I wanted to know the deep things of God. I asked the pastor at the church about getting a summer Bible study group together, designing the sincere milk of the Word of God. I was told to ask around some of the members. I got a lot of smiles and encouragement, but was told it was not practical to start a summer Bible study group as folks had other things to do with their families over the summer. Cognitive dissonance. I wondered about the state Christianity Today was in. I heard about the Laodicean church. I was guessing I was in it. And it did. It caused me to question my faith. I was determined to try and learn the Bible. I had already decided I would go against the grain and learn reading the King James Bible. I was a rebel at heart. A rebel for God is a good thing. I started to try and read the King James Bible along with listening to the storytelling from the NIV. After the summer, I did get in a study group, and it was more confusion. At the study group, everyone had a different version, and they would chime in. I like the way my version says this verse. I don't recall how much I was trying to read them, but I do recall being confused and frustrated in spite of well-meaning folks telling me the multiple versions will help me. My determination to learn the Bible was noticed at the church. I believe 2 Peter 1:3 before I ever heard it or read it. According as his divine power hath given us unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. All things often refers to the scriptures. Because of my propensity to open my Bible for every question I had, I was told I was like a Baptist. I wasn't sure what a Baptist was other than Jerry Falwell was one. And that led me to the internet. And led me to wayoflife.org, a guy named David Cloud. I ordered his Bible study books, and the first one I read was a book of Acts study. I wanted to know what a New Testament church was supposed to be like. I learned it wasn't like the one I was attending. I let a few folks check out some of my new study books that I had purchased. I was told some of it was good, but that a lot of the teaching was dangerous. I was impressed with Brother Clad's ability to do exactly what I wanted to aspire to, answer all things that pertain to life and godliness with Scripture. I wanted to be dangerous. I knew that most of the preaching on TV and radio was watered down. I started to make the connection that watered down preaching went along with modern translations more often than not. I was told from several brethren not to concentrate on the New Testament epistles that dealt with false teachers. I knew I'd have to stop reading the Bible analytically. How many minutes? Two. I didn't think I'd get through this, but what this did lead up to was Brother Cloud quoted this man right here often, and I called up, and he answered the phone. This big conglomerate, Bible for Today, with so many books, and the president answering the phone, and he answered all my questions. He took the time for me. He put me at ease of what I normally think of scholars, and he's, as far as I'm concerned, he is a scholar of scholars, and he's a meek and humble man too, and he's my pastor and he's my friend. But the best recommendation he gave me, and I've already said this, read the Bible. Read the Bible prayerfully, not grieving the Holy Spirit. I was going to read all these verses on preservation, and all these verses, it was enough for me. I didn't need, I needed them to point them out to me, but I didn't need all the physical evidence. I didn't need to know that. And I know a lot of people do, but it enforces it. And what the society's doing is wonderful. And my conclusion here is also a little long. I got 30 seconds. I'll just read Scripture. That makes me a scholar, doesn't it? Ecclesiastes 12:9 from the conclusion of the preacher. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even words of truth. The words of the wise are as goads and nails fastened by the masters of assemblies, which are given from one shepherd. And further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of flesh. I think that alludes to our previous speaker, Pastor Sutton. What a many books. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. I think that's good to always go out on a admonition like that. And this wasn't a hard issue for me to come to. I have such a hard time with this, wondering why people don't understand heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. I'm still disillusioned, folks. But I'm holding fast to my Savior in these perilous times. Evil men are, and seducers are, waxing worse and worse. And I'm looking for the Lord's return. And these scriptures point me to the object of my adoration, my salvation, my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I thank the Bergon Society, and I thank Dr. Lee Zadi. Psalm 119, 137. Righteous art thou, O Lord, and upright are thy judgments. Thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words. Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. I am small and despised, yet do not I forget thy precepts. Thy righteousness is an everlasting righteousness, and thy law is the truth. Trouble and anguish have taken hold on me, yet thy commandments are my delights. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding, and I shall live.